Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bible Study. Have a wonderful testimony for you here and a wonderful revelation for you here, too. Father, we ask you to bless us today. Give us your guidance, your wisdom, your mercy, your grace. Show us the wonderful thing you're about to do, Lord, and how we can be a part of it and how we can help bring it to pass. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Got a revelation here for you. It's one that's a cause for celebration, I believe. We called it Trump Empowered by the Remnant. And Bill Steenland received this on December the 11th, 2018. And it's wonderful. I dreamed I was with President Trump in Washington, D.C. That's the District of Columbia. Columbia is a word that goes back to the Latin and means the dove. It's a parable about the spirit or spiritual things. Okay, you can, of course, see that in two ways, but the parable is still there. He says Trump is also a type of the man-child president in this dream. We learned that from quite a few other dreams, how that they're running parallel, and they one of them is a president in the spiritual realm, and one is a president in the physical realm. So, but the faction is making war against both because that's the devil. He's trying to bring down this move of God. And Bill said many of his supporters were there. He was in the middle of them, handing out paperwork, and he was smiling, and it was a joyful time, almost kind of like a celebration. And I knew he had won a victory, and many peoples there were very happy. Amen. Kind of like the Red Sea victory, you know, on the other side, they had a big celebration, you know. The Sennacherib army victory, Jehoshaphat's victory, all these are celebrations after the victory over the enemy. And anyway, he said, Trump kept saying, I have my snow white, or white as snow, 7,000 votes. I'll say that again. I have my snow white, or white as snow, 7,000 votes. He kept saying it. And Bill's note here is, he thinks it's the power of faith in the remnant bride. Okay. The faith is what's keeping Trump up there. It's keeping him alive. It's keeping this movement moving, right? Trump was very proud of the vote from these snow-white remnants. I looked it up, and snow-white is a parable about the bride and the seven churches. Jealous of Snow White's beauty, the wicked queen, which we'll call the harlot body, following the elite and Obama, in parallel to the harlot church, following the false prophet leadership, the wicked queen orders the murder of her innocent stepdaughter, but later discovers that Snow White is still alive and hiding in a cottage in the wilderness with seven friendly little miners who are dwarves. Yes, the seven churches, Bill puts, who have yet to come into the measure and stature of Christ. In other words, they're dwarfed. And, of course, they're mining for something, but they're ever learning, but in some cases never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're all digging in the Word, right? And Bill gives Ephesians 4:11 through 13, who are in a spiritual mind. that is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. And here's a verse he gives about the miners. Job 28, 1 through 3. Surely there is a vein for the silver. Well, a vein, of course, is what you mine. And a place for gold where they find it. Yes. And iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection. Notice the symbolism here he's applying this to, searching out perfection. Where do you search out perfection? Well, of course, in the Word. And he brings an end to darkness, and because of searching out perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. And the Bill puts the spiritual refinement and spiritual death. Amen. Which brings us to life, does it not? Yes. Matthew 4 and 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he puts here a timing for the return of the man-child, for the bride and the seven churches to be built up. Yes. The churches mine, of course, for their gold and silver nature in the Bible. Although most are not deep and are on a surface level, or else not at all. We need to dig. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. People who want the kingdom must search for it. God ordained it that way. They must desire after it and search for it. He ordained that this is the way that you will find it. And it's likened unto gold and silver because it's very valuable, the most valuable thing that we can find, right? Disguising herself as a hag, the queen brings a poisoned apple, which we generally represents sin, a poisoned apple to Snow White, who falls into a death-like sleep that can only be broken by a kiss from the prince. Well, amen. And I believe that kiss from the prince is grace. Okay. Yes, grace will wake up the people of God. Bill said, Satan tricked Eve, the bride of the first Adam, into partaking of the sin nature, which caused blindness to come over all mankind by partaking of the apple, a common euphemism displayed in this old story. However, she will be awakened by a kiss from the prince. Yes, grace, God's mercy. And he gives Song of Solomon 1, 2 through 4. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. That's what the bride says, right? The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Yes, the Shulamite bride ran after the beloved king, right? And the rest of the church was kind of ho-hum about it. They weren't running after him, and they didn't receive the prize like the Shulamite did. Bill said the hag queen being the deep state slanderers attempting a personality assassination on Trump. Yes, and I don't think they're through. They're desperate, really, to overcome him and have some kind of proof that they can get him on and kick him out of office. Bill said this next scripture is also about the man-child awakening the bride while simultaneously destroying his enemies, which we see implied later in this dream. Yes, Psalm 45, 2 through 5. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. There it is. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And yes, his arrow is in the heart of all of the faction, whether it's the deep state in the government or whether it's the deep state in the church. These people who think they own the church and think that they can judge everybody and think that they can kill anybody that gets in their way. But God's got a plan, and he's going to bring them down, and it's going to happen shortly. And Bill said the deep state faction have the Lord's arrows in their heart, and they feed at the table of the devil, of the devils, and will be taken out by it. And I want to say, too, the deep state faction in the church also is in this situation. The arrows come from the white horse rider, Jesus, the Word of God, who is coming, by the way, in the man-child body. And also some texts here that I've added in, too, that are according to what Bill said when he said this next scripture is also about the man-child awakening the bride while simultaneously destroying his enemies, which we see implied later in this dream. Isaiah 62:11-63:3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, who is the bride, right? According to what John was told in Revelation. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. His reward is, of course, for the bride and, of course, for all of those who are righteous and are following after him. But most especially, the bride is going to receive this reward, and the rest are going into tribulation in order to come into the same image that the bride did, right? And his recompense is before him. In other words, judgment is coming before his coming. And again, we're talking about the coming of the Lord in his man-child reformers to reform the church. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Well, you know that Zion was forsaken through the dark ages and a great falling away. They didn't live in the promised land as the leadership of God's people. It was a falling away. And then the next verse is 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Edom, of course, is the seed of Esau, who sold his birthright because of a root of bitterness against his brother Israel. And anybody who is bitter against the church falls into this category. Or bitter against the bride especially. That's the main one that's hated. And even The queens and the concubines were jealous of the bride, right? With dyed garments from Bozrah. Bozrah means the sheepfold. However, this is Edom's sheepfold. This is a group of people who have fallen away through bitterness and criticism that we call the faction. This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in his greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. The Lord, right? He's coming up from Bozrah. He's coming up from the sheepfold. And then it says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat. He has just judged Edom. He just blessed the bride and judged Edom. I have trodden the winepress alone. Of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. Well, let me go back to the Edom situation. Like Edom, the faction are selling their birthright through hatred and slander against the righteous. Whether you see that in the government or whether you see it in the church, it's the same beast. Okay, Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness or sanctification, same word, no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, meaning they won't see the Lord. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled, which is exactly what's happened in the government and in the church. These defilers will not see the Lord without quick repentance. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. In other words, following after the flesh. He sold his birthright. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently and with tears. Yes, many of these people will not be able to repent. They have sold their birthright. It's over for them. Some will repent. And again, this next scripture is also about the man-child awakening the bride while simultaneously destroying his enemies, which we see implied later in this dream. And this is Isaiah 59, 20 through 60 and 3. And a redeemer will come to Zion. Where is he coming? To Zion. What is Zion? Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem? It's the capital city of the rest of the church, spiritually speaking, and the city of David, who ruled over the capital city, who ruled over the rest of the church, right? A redeemer will come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Nobody's going to get this prize but those that turn from transgression in Jacob. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, I would say the Redeemer coming to Zion, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, that is the Redeemer's seed, the word of God, the people in whom the word of God lives. That is the people he's talking about here. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed. The words that he put in the mouth of the Lord are not going to depart out of the mouth of his seed. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, says the Lord. In other words, it can be passed on from generation to generation, from henceforth and forever. And then to the bride, which is Jerusalem, he says, Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I love these verses. They're so awesome. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Have we ever seen a day like this? But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And remember, we come into his glory 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. In other words, these are going to be the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen, and that's because Jesus lives in them by his word. The glory of God is shining out of them. Amen. The wicked can't see it. The wicked gnash their teeth upon these. And Bill says, God's 7,000 are also in this scripture, right along with the judgment and the timing of the witchcraft faction against all that is good. Romans 11 and 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay, notice that. We know what Baal is. He's another Jesus, another spirit that's in the churches. They worship a Jesus after their own making because that Jesus does not demand they lose their life. They walk the crucified walk. Okay, that's that Jesus. He's a prosperity and a love Jesus, but he doesn't really love. Because if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. So the 7,000 represents the remnant of holy people who do not worship a false Jesus. Even so, then, at this present time, and also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Amen. It was, as we've seen already, it is grace, right? And if by grace, then it's no more by of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? In other words, if you could work your way to heaven by the strength of the flesh, it wouldn't be grace. Because grace is an unmerited favor. It is a gift from God. Can't be bought by any man's works. Although the people who have it do the Lord's works. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, because they sought it by works and by the law. And if you seek it by the law, you too will not find it. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Yes, those under the law were blinded. And according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. And of course, his recompense is before him. He's bringing to pay them for their wicked deeds. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. And Bill says the deep state Illuminati have fed on the things of Satan at the table of devils and their ways. It is their judgment and delusion. Along with the apostate leadership of God's people, much of the church for centuries has actually been run by world Freemasonry. Yes, you'd be surprised how many pastors are Masons. Shocked. The dragon rules over the harlot and wants to entrap the woman of Revelation 12 in the wilderness, right? trying first to take out the man-child, failing at that, going to try to take out the woman, going to fail at that too, by the grace of God. But he will take out those who are not members of the body of the woman, but who may be in her midst. There's a sanctifying body of a man-child, there's a sanctifying body of the bride, and there's a sanctifying body of the church in the wilderness, right? Remember, Trump kept saying, I have the votes of my 7,000 snow whites. Theirs is the one that counts, right? Yes. Bill said, I prayed about it, and what the Lord showed me is that what these overcomers say goes. Yes, exactly right, because they are holy and they are white, and God hears their prayers. The vote is a parable about their faith in prayer and in warfare. And that the people out there that are doing this remarkable miracle in America and spreading in the world are these people. When they pray, God hears. And when they bind, men are bound. And when they loose, men are loosed. They have authority. Bill said, we need to pray and to have faith and command things, big things, to happen, because God is moving and wants us to vote in this way in the many matters facing Trump and the nation. Amen. So true. There was a group of his haters. Well, let me say, the man-child's haters and Trump's haters. There was a group of his haters drinking champagne and shaking their heads in an area lifted up above everyone else. I was next to a man who I knew was very prominent and intelligent, and he was smiling and he had something up his sleeve. In other words, he was there, but he was different. I would say he knew the wicked and their schemes. He may have been among them as an evangelist, right? Trump was busy walking around and talking to people. I feel like I know this man or know of him. I knew he was a force for good in the government. Whoever this man is, he's in favor of Trump, right? Now I know this man could very well be Q or represent Q. Trump came close to us and he said, excuse me, Mr. President, I think you should have this. Trump was happy, but busy and almost passed it off. He took a large brown book and gave it to the secretary. I followed that book, dying to know what was in it and open it. I walked up to Trump, dying is an interesting word because of what I think this book is. But anyway, I walked up to Trump and the secretary and looked at the book, hoping to open it without anyone seeing. I grabbed the book and the secretary said, hey, I know you want to open this, but I have responsibilities as his secretary. In other words, he needs this book. Trump needs this book. I was so excited and nervous, I said to the secretary as I picked it up and placed it forward on the desk, saying, ma'am, do you have any idea what might be in this book? Oh, my God, unquote. I kept asking the same question. Do you know what could be in this book? And I kept asking with amazement, like everything we have seen and learned was all coming down to this. I believe the book is the Bible. And that was the end of the dream. And Bill gives us a text here, Isaiah 44, 28 through 45, 4. Thus saith Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Wow, that's the word for pastor, actually. He Well, we know Cyrus was not that, but in the world, he became that by God's hand. And not that he was so righteous. It was what God used him for, to bring about. Well, it goes on to say, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Amen. Cyrus did that. We know that Trump is also going to do that by distributing the money to rebuild the temple among the Christians. I won't talk about that anymore today. But 45:1 says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. And Bill says, Trump was also a parable about the Lord, and I say in his man-child body, in this dream. So, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And he's doing it, isn't he? And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And, of course, that's what happened before Cyrus, so that he could take down Babylon. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Which may also be in the brown book, the Bible. The secrets to everything are there. And whether you say you see it in the surface text or whether you see it beneath the text in the equidistant messages. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. When you read the Bible, that's exactly what you know. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Trump's surname is Cyrus. Or is Cyrus' surname Trump? Yeah. So, well, listen to this. You know, there are many things in the Bible, in the skip sequences. Many revelations there. Revelations on top of revelations. It's amazing. It's astounding. This message is going through there telling us about things of our day. Everything is there. Everything is there. And Bill said, it was these secrets that were in this book. Could it be the secret technologies hidden from us for thousands of years? Could the treasures be all the countless billions they have spent on dumbs or black budget projects? Indictments? Maybe they will be ordering a search warrant on the Fraternal Order of Freemasonry. Or using all the data in the NSA to see what these people have really been up to. Pedophile arrests, maybe. Human trafficking arrests. Election manipulations, on and on. I read a post sent to me from Greg, and it was cute, saying that by the time he gets done with these people, they won't be able to walk down the street. The video where Trump says, quote, this is the calm before the storm, unquote, is very convincing. They ask him, quote, what storm, unquote. And he replied, quote, you'll see, unquote. I have always wondered how Trump could be so high up in the ladder and not know about these orders and high-end gangs. My brother, Joey, made a good point that with Trump owning so many hotels, he could have dirt on all of them. Well, let me tell you where all of the answers of this are. They're in the equidistant lettering system in the Bible. Messages on top of messages, because every letter in the Bible is used more than one time, depending upon what the skip sequence is between the next letter. And these messages go all the way through the Bible. And they tell on everything. And so I say, or maybe all the secrets are in the Bible. Yes. The ELS. I'm currently praying for what's inside. I've been asking the Lord to reveal or give a glimpse of it, and He will. I really feel like this is a call to prayer and authority concerning the bride and the power that we have over the world, restored former dominion. After this dream, I believe wholeheartedly that the deep state is going down. Now, yeah, I believe it too, Bill. I sure do. And I believe the contents of the book are not revealed here because the 7,000 Snow Whites can pray into that book whatever they want. It's a blank check for the righteous or the white. You know, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. Yes, remember, this thing started out with the Word of God. And now we have something else. So, and now we're seeing, I believe, where all the answers are. People need to, you know, get to work on this ELS system in the Bible, because all of the answers are there. Another one. This was given to Anna Stewart on the 10th of this December, 2018. We called it the Nonsensical Slanderous Faction. Again, we're talking about a faction that's in the church and it's in the government. We're seeing how stupid it is. She said, a factious man in a red Mustang parked on the side of the road near our house, though it wasn't our house in reality. He was speaking through a megaphone system in the car. The kind that police have. In other words, he's made himself a judge, right? And was broadcasting nonsensical slander. Nothing he was saying was making sense. Well, my thought about this is, nonsensical is what the faction in the government and in the church say and do. They're beside the road because they're not on the narrow road or the way. It's a Mustang because they are wild and untamable. It's a horse because they trust in the power of the beastly flesh. You know, they trust in their ability to do whatever they want to and get away with it. They're red because of sin. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Reasoning is something you can't do with those spirits until God gives them deliverance. Faction and witchcraft spirits make people nonsensical because it is a possession by a devil. Or demons, I should say. More than one. The scene changed, and I was in David's house, which also was different than his actual house in reality, because this is not his physical house, but a spiritual house that's being built, right? It was three stories, very big, and entirely white inside. Well, white inside represents sanctified. The third story represents sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. I went up to a large room on the third floor where many people were gathered from our local group. Well, that's good. Many in our local are on the third floor. That's where they should be. Everyone was standing, and I remember the verse, how that the overcomers are standing before the Son of Man, Revelation 14. Right? I noticed the factious man was among us, and I was surprised. And I think David was teaching, but I'm not sure. The factious man seemed to be sincere in his desire to be with us, but he was trying to justify himself. And when he did that, instead of humbling himself to his wrong, everybody walked out. In other words, it was no use. There's no use dealing with somebody. There is no hope for somebody who is justifying self, not confessing their sins. So everybody walked out, leaving just him and David. I'm supposing that maybe David can help this guy. I'm talking about the Davids, right? The David ministry. And she says, could this be instructions for us should this happen? In other words, walk out when somebody's justifying self. Don't listen to them. You're wasting your time. This, folks, there's no hope for self-justification. Only if we confess our sins. This is not a nebulous, I am sorry for my sin type thing, but specifically confessing the deed itself and to the persons it was done against. 1 John 1:7-9 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So faction is the opposite of fellowship. Faction is I'm here, I'm the judge, I can do what I want to do. I can disobey every word. Listen to me just because I'm me. They have no law. They're lawless, right? So if we walk in the light, he said, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. If a person refuses the light, when you give them the light of the word, guess what? Self-justification is there. You can't help them. They have to repent. Repent means change your mind. Believe the word. If they can't do that, they can't come with us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's exactly what they say. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the way to holiness. Notice. And, you know, the factious tried to do that thing. Well, I'm sorry for my sin. But they won't tell you what their sin is and they won't confess their sin. You know, it's just kind of a let's get by this and so we can go on and have fellowship. But you can't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And they can't get rid of the unfruitful works of darkness unless they confess their sins. Don't let them deceive you. There was another scene, but I don't remember if it happened before or after this man came back, where he was outrunning the cops. And I could feel what he was thinking. Well, he was thinking to get away with breaking God's law. That's what the symbolism is here. And if you don't obey man's law, guess what? You're not obeying God's law because God said, you know, obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And they don't obey man's law. They think they're totally above man's law. They can break all kinds of laws, and it doesn't make any difference to them. There was a group of people standing in the road, and he had only a second to decide what to do. So he was running from the law, right? And you only had a second what to do. I could feel the hesitation that he was feeling, but at the last minute, he decided he couldn't stop because he'd get caught by the cops. Uh-oh. Listen, the fear of rejection causes these people to try to escape facing the law of God with their sins. And he somehow shot fire out of the front of his car, immediately incinerating the people in the road and floored it, making an attempt to escape the police. I guess you've noticed in the world, and maybe you've noticed in the church too, that these people don't care how many lives they have to destroy to escape the penalty for their sins. So they cannot be trusted without true confession. which brings the cleansing of their sins. They cannot be trusted. There can be no cleansing of all defilement without confession of sins. And they refuse to do that. And the demons help them to refuse to do that because they know they'll lose their house if this person confesses sin. So they restrain them from confessing any sin. They use fear. They use all kinds of tactics, deception, all kinds of tactics to keep them from confessing their sins. So don't trust them if they can't do that. Anybody that can't do that cannot be trusted. Wow, Father, that's an awesome revelation there. Revelations there, I should say. Father, we thank you for the victory that is coming down the road. And of course, we see this as a prophetic parable in which the righteous, the holy ones, the white ones, the snow white ones, exercise their authority. Remember, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. I give you authority over all the power. If we've got this authority, we have boldness towards God. If our heart condemns us not, the Bible says. So a person walking in holiness can have this authority, can exercise it. They may be too lazy to exercise it or lack knowledge to exercise it, but you need righteousness. It means confessing your sins. Then you need to quit acting in the flesh and doing the things of the flesh, like the Mustang, right? Men trust and harness the flesh of the beast to do their works for them. They don't understand. They're walking in the flesh, and they must die. And so, well, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, give us wisdom to fight this good fight and to bring this to an end, not only in this nation, but in other nations. We see, Lord, that you're doing this revival. You're kicking out the deep state Satanists, the pedophiles, which goes with Satanism everywhere. You're kicking them out, Father. You're making room for more righteous people to be in government. Not that you're calling the Christians into government, but at least more right-wing, cleaner people in the government. And Lord, we ask you to do this in a great way because it will make a way for a short time of peace for your people who need the first 3.5 years of relative peace in order to be raised up into an organized body by the man-child ministry, just like Jesus did. He raised up the early church, the called out ones. What were they called out of? The dead religions of that day. And of course, today he's doing the same thing, calling people out, calling them into the wilderness to sit at the feet of Jesus while he teaches them the way of the kingdom and raises up the fivefold ministry, raises up apostles who go forth and raise up the fivefold ministries. And he sent forth these apostles 2 by 2, which are the 2 witnesses. Their job was to raise up the fivefold ministry and to speak against the world and speak against the enemies of God. So, Father, we thank you for this awesome, these awesome revelations here that, and that your people will do the work, your people. And like John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. So if you walk as Snow White, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. So saints, exercise authority. Cast down the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness that have led us to this great corruption, these very wicked people who are so self-righteous about their wickedness that even when they get caught, they got their lips stuck out at you like it's your fault. And that's the faction does that too. It's all your fault that I'm a dirty sinner and I can't obey the word of God and I do exactly as I will. And no, I've never sinned. It's all you. You think I'm kidding. Well, let me tell you, I've dealt with a lot of it, and folks here have seen a lot of it, and we know it's the truth. So they're blind to their own sins. The devil blinds them to their own sins, and only by the grace of God will their eyes be opened. And very few of them will. Most of them, I would say, will are selling their birthright, just like Esau did, because of their slander and anger against their brother, who ends up being the true Israel, you know, the Israel of God. So, Father, we thank you for your mercy towards your people. We thank you for those of your elect who are among the factious. We pray for them all the time. We pray that you draw them out, open their eyes, and give them a heart to confess their sins and get deliverance. Not confess it's everybody else's fault, I am what I am, and get deliverance. Father, we pray for them. We ask you to send forth your angels and deliver such as are yours from among them, your elect from among them, and deliver them from the evil around them, and especially those who were deceived by these people, because in ignorance, people do get deceived into this, and these are the people most likely that will come out. And but the deceivers, For the most part, the deceivers are going down. And so we thank you, Father, for your mercy towards those who were ignorant and didn't know to receive not an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses, and didn't know, Matthew 18 and 15, if your brother sins, go and speak to him, you and him alone, instead of going to the church as slanderers always do, who didn't know. Titus 3, 10 and 11. A factious person after first and second admonition refuse. So people that don't know these things sometimes get trapped temporarily, but the Lord saves them and delivers them. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless Michael Hare, and he's coming to share a word, and we just give thanks for that. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, continue to help us down this road by your grace, Lord, and let us see that holy result of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good night, saints. Bless you.